questions have to the present object.
But don't just ask the questions. Mm. What exactly is the wrong view that you're talking about here? If there's still a lot of attachment from the eradicated wrong view.
The wrong view is wrong view as to what can be the object of awareness. One who has eradicated wrong view understands completely that any object that appears at the present moment can be the object of awareness, whether it's a wholesome or an unwholesome reality. And that is the first of the four stages of enlightenment. But such a person has not eradicated attachment.
So he hasn't seen the way the self exists?
He has seen that, but part of what we take for self is attachment. And other places, other departments, they still are there, but he no longer takes them for self. He sees them as realities which are conditioned and which arise that when an attractive object appears to his consciousness, then the attachment arises automatically by nature, but he doesn't take that for self.
And there was quite a lot discussed about how it has to be the wrong view that's eradicated first, because we talk about wanting to have detachment from lobha and wanting to understand lobha, but Konstantin was explaining how while there's still wrong view, there's no understanding the present realities as they are.
So there's various stages of wrong view, and you were speaking of the first stage of understanding.
First stage of enlightenment, but wrong view is eradicating completely by next stage.
Oh, well, how does a person still have a lot of attachment then? Because wouldn't that attachment depend on wrong view of the self?
The attachment depends on the fact that it has been accumulated in the past. It's only the development of wisdom that will finally eradicate that. But the eradication of wrong view is simply the eradication of one of the many kinds of defilement.
Would it be the sort of most subtle type of defilement?
No, it is subtle. But it is nevertheless the first to be eradicated. Other defilements are also subtle and take longer to eradicate.
A wrong view is that understanding the self as a permanent entity.
It means taking the realities which appear as self, which includes both taking our seeing as being self and taking what is seen as being object, as having a separate identity, not seeing visible object as visible object, the sound as sound. Taking, say, visible object and sound, so forth, together to be person or table or chair, something like that. That's kind of wrong view.
Does one understand the wrong view of one's of self before understanding the wrong view of, say, object? Or does it simultaneously, this wrong view is eradicated?
As one develops understanding of different realities, seeing a visible object, hearing and sound, one begins to see that none of them are self. They are all conditioned, and one begins to see the way in which they are conditioned. That means one does not take them for self. What applies to one reality applies to another.
It would depend on seeing how one's mind or one's mind and body complex aren't self, wouldn't it? Because then we project on the phenomenal world due to that wrong concept of thinking we exist independently as a self-contained unit or whatever.
Every reality has the same characteristic of not-self, whether it's what we think of as an internal or an external reality, or whether it's a reality that we take as being part of ourself or a reality that we take as being part of the rest of the world. So one can't say that it's more important to know some realities than others. They must all be known, because even if one... because then one is into the idea of choosing the object of awareness, which is what we've just been talking about. And when one tries to limit the objects of which there can be awareness, one is not developing awareness of any reality which arises at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Those realities which arise but which one thinks are external, for example, one doesn't want to know, or one thinks one should better be knowing the others that one thinks are internal, say, part of the body-mind complex.
Mm-hmm.
So when the wrong view has been eradicated, there's still going to be global for other objects, but I think the point that was coming out was that while there is still the idea that somehow being aware of other objects other than present conditioned reality is the way, while there's still the idea of limiting sati, then it's that wrong view that has to be eradicated before anything else. And so it was discussed how there are degrees of that wrong view, how subtly the idea of something else creeps in, like when we were just discussing some of the themes of discussion that came out in a pilgrimage in India that we just went on. We were discussing about the characteristic of awareness and how the characteristic of awareness is that it is aware of the present reality which is conditioned, and how so often we have an idea of selecting some other object of awareness because there's not enough understanding developed which understands it as only the present reality that can be known. So often people follow some practice where they just want to choose some other object rather than knowing the reality at this moment. So that's why it seems it's important to know about all different conditioned realities so that awareness can arise. Understanding can understand more about all the different phenomena of our life, not just something special that maybe we have some idea of control of or selecting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of discussion about thinking of particular situations to develop awareness. For example, we might have an idea that for awareness to arise we have to be in a special place or in a discussion or where it's quiet or something like that. And whenever we have the idea of something special, that's an aspect of clinging to self, because it's something at that moment, no awareness of Kunsichin talked several times about how there is following lobha, following attachment all the time, because the lobha or attachment is so strong, there's always wanting another reality, something else other than understanding the present reality.
Is it what's obscuring the mind?
what happens at this moment happens, the different phenomena of our life that arise at this moment, the mental and physical phenomena, arise because there are conditions for them to arise. We're used to thinking we can control life, or we can make what we like appears, but we can begin to see that actually who can control life? Really, what happens in life happens because there are different conditions, different causes for the different phenomena to arise at this moment. No, that there isn't any control over.
What can be controlled?
What can be controlled?
Demand, I guess.
Demand? Thinking, you mean?
The different processes that go on in the mind, the mental factors that arise, the non-virtuous and
yes, but
factors.
When what one means by mind? The moment.
The consciousness and the accompanying mental practice.
Yes, but it's the moment of thinking, or what moment that one takes it for mind?
It could be a moment of thought.
Of thought, so it's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Can one condition one's thought?
I think you can.
What is your next thought? Do you know? What will be your next thought?
I think if I was to do something in a habitual way, continuously, then I would know the sort of behavioural pattern that would come up.
As soon as thinking has arisen, there's the idea of I am thinking, right? But thinking is conditioned as well, because one cannot expect the next moment what thinking will think about. So thinking is conditioned. Each moment is conditioned. So nobody can control any reality. Pardon?
Cannot control.
As we develop on the path, though, we could start to gain control over our thoughts, couldn't we, by being aware and stopping habitual patterns from arising, or just not stopping them consciously, but being a process of awareness, just cutting habitual thought, and this be some measure of control.
Does one understand that each moment is conditioned?
Yes.
When it's conditioned, it's wrong to think that there can be control of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be more understanding of each reality as a conditioned moment, as it is. So it's the development of right understanding of conditioned reality which appears, not the controlling of any reality at all. If there is the idea of controlling, it's right or wrong, because no reality can be controlled at all, but it can be understood clearer and clearer by developing words instead of controlling. Nothing can be controlled at all. Seeing cannot be controlled, can it? Seeing?
No.
Hearing cannot be controlled, can it? But there can be more understanding of seeing and hearing whenever it appears. If one has the perfect understanding of seeing, there's no need to develop more understanding of seeing. By understanding that there is no understanding of seeing as a reality which experiences visible object. So that should be the development of understanding of it. Whenever there is seeing, not at moment of hearing. And when there is hearing, there should be the development of understanding of hearing, not of seeing. As it is. No control.
And when understanding arises, it's conditioned as well. It's not self that understands. And that's a condition for a more understanding to develop. So it's not a matter of having more control by developing more understanding, because the understanding itself is conditioned. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about the tendency to develop. So the more understanding that makes the more conditions, I think the more understanding to arise in the future, but it doesn't suddenly become a matter of controlling the mind or something.
In what way is our attachment for different objects, in what way does that distract us from awareness of the object that appears at the present moment?
When there is no immediate awareness of present object,
yes,
which appears now.
But,
one is led already by desire or attachment to other objects.
Desire for other objects, you mean desire to go
somewhere, or not to be aware of seeing, hearing, feeling of this moment. Wanting to experience special object, or not ordinary object which appears now.
Wanting to experience, you mean wanting to know, or wanting to just to enjoy?
Anything. What about seeing now? Why not being aware of it? Understand it. It sees. What is seeing and what is seen? If one does not begin to develop right understanding of it, there must be the idea of I see, it's me, it's I, self all the time, which sees.
So can we say that the ordinariness of the ordinary experiences turns us away from understanding them?
Right understanding understands reality which appears in daily life, the natural seeing now. It cannot be different from this moment when it's object of right understanding. No way to change it from seeing this world object to something different.
In the early stages, when you're developing mindfulness, one does select an object to develop concentration, doesn't
with right or with wrong understanding?
With the understanding that that's a method for developing greater awareness.
It indicates that there is no, not enough right understanding of the development of awareness yet.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't realize that it's anatta. Awareness itself is conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's like thinking. One does not know what the next thought will be, so one does not know what is the object of right awareness will be, if there is no awareness now. So it is awareness itself which is aware, not I who can control or direct awareness to this or that object. So there must be the idea of I all the time if there is selection. of certain objects.
At the beginning of the practice, there is, you know, a strong sense of I, and is that why, like in practices such as Anapanasati, then there is one object of
the Even awareness. The beginning must be right beginning or wrong beginning. When it's right beginning, it begins correctly. But when it's wrong beginning, it cannot lead to seeing realities as anatta. It's only thinking about anatta, thinking that realities are anatta, but it's not the awareness of right awareness by itself or by conditions because of the idea of all realities are anatta, but it disagrees of the development of right understanding if one still controls or selects.
So what's going to help the development aren't the moments of selecting or trying to control, but the moments of beginning to consider or understand in the right way, because that's what will help the gradual development of understanding. But because there's so little understanding, it often seems that it's the trying to control and select that's actually helping, whereas the moments of wrong view or clinging to the idea of self can never help in fact.
And wrong view is always accompanied by attachment. One is attached to that idea of controlling or selecting and knowing. No understanding of the anatta-ness of sati. That sati can arise at any time, it can be aware of any object. When it's not right awareness, there is no understanding of the characteristic of awareness and unawareness at all. One takes samadhi or concentration for sati, awareness, because awareness does not arise. So one thinks that concentrating is awareness, while it's not. Awareness is awareness. When awareness is awareness, it's not concentration. Awareness? Awareness is self-developed. The Eightfold Path and the Eight Jetasikas develop from moment to moment. No self develops. Right understanding of the Eightfold Path. Right understanding of moments with awareness and moments without awareness. Seeing seems, is there any awareness of any reality at moment of seeing? Hearing hears now. Is it only an experiencing of sound, or is there awareness of a characteristic which hears, which experiences sound as a reality, which performs a function, which hears, or the sound which is not hearing. So there can be hearing, many moments of hearing without awareness of any characteristic of realities at all. So in the beginning, when awareness arises, it is aware, it begins to be aware of a characteristic which appears as it is, as sound not hearing and hearing not sound. It's easy to say that hearing is a reality which experiences sound. Anyone can say that. It seems like one understands what one is saying about hearing, that hearing experiences sound. But it's not the moment of being aware of have that characteristic which feels. That's why awareness should develop on and on and on until right understanding can understand each reality as it feels, as not self. When there is more understanding of realities as nama, the experiencing, and the rupa, the reality which cannot experience any object, there will be less idea of self, less idea or concept of self. Otherwise, there is no way to eliminate the idea of self from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or from the eye.
So the idea of awareness is taking away the eye.
It is the moment of awareness and understanding, or understanding with awareness, not just thinking that it's nama, it's an experiencing.
It's not really a matter of changing or taking anything away, because anyway at this moment the realities are not self, they are just conditioned realities. So it's not a matter of having to do something special to them, but a matter of understanding them as they are anyway at this moment. So the only difference is that instead of having wrong view and ignorance of realities as they are most of the time, all day, every day, they can be the beginning of understanding them as they are. And I think when there's the understanding, there's the proving at that moment that they are conditioned, they are beyond control. Realities which Khunsu Chin has just been talking about are really just the five khandhas, and the reason that there isn't any understanding is the ignorance, the not knowing anything about the five khandhas or the different phenomena as they are. Yes, and beginning to understand more about conditioned realities at this moment, because it has to always begin now. So there can be the beginning to see that life or everything that we consider important is just a conditioned moment right now. And so now there can be a moment of seeing, as which Khunsu Chin was talking about, next moment of thinking about what's seen. So it's not something that happened yesterday that there can be any understanding of, or something in the future. It's only the moment of seeing now, or the moment of thinking about what's seen now.
Like when you said in answer to the question earlier about studying the occult path, in what sense does one study the Eightfold Path in order to...
What are the Eightfold Path? When one knows what are they, it's studying in order to understand anything.
When one knows what the Eightfold Path is, then that is...
One has studied. There are many levels of studying. Are we studying now?
Yes.
But there are many levels of study by listening, reading, considering, or with awareness, or by awareness. The highest
level of study is studying with the ones. Because if we read about realities, or we talk about seeing, if there is no awareness of seeing yet, it's only intellectual understanding of seeing, but not the direct understanding of seeing when there is seeing. So seeing is not in the book. It's here at moment of seeing, and it can be object of understanding and studying with awareness.
So in that sense, there's no, as far as studying the Eightfold Path first is concerned, there's no actual preliminary to awareness of seeing it.
What is awareness? When one begins to study the Eightfold Path, one has to know what are the Eightfold Paths, one by one. What is right understanding? What is right thinking or sammasankappo? What is right effort? Sammavayama?
Well, I understand you to have said in the past that if there's a moment of awareness of an object, then there is the factors of the Eightfold Path, some of them.
Not all eight yet, but there are five at least.
Five at least.
Mm-hmm. But before there can be moment of awareness, if there is no hearing of the characteristic of awareness and the right object of right awareness, can there be any condition for the arising of awareness?
Well, I think not.
Can it just arise?
I think it can.
Mm-hmm. That's why there are many levels of understanding and studying.
It's the sort of thing that when you've heard it said, it seems quite evident or reasonable, but until you've heard it said, you would never have actually thought of it yourself.
For example, what is right awareness? And what is the object of right awareness? If there is no understanding of the right object of right awareness, it's impossible to have any condition for the arising of right awareness. It doesn't mean that as soon as one reads about the Eightfold Paths, the Eightfold Path or the Fifth Fold Path would arise instantly. It depends on one's understanding, whether it's enough to condition right awareness or not yet, or it just begins. So don't try to develop right awareness without the understanding of right awareness and right object of right awareness. It begins with right understanding stage by stage. Instead of talking about right awareness, we can talk about right object of right awareness. Otherwise, one may think that one has right awareness already. But if one has no understanding of right object of right awareness, it's not right awareness at all. One can say, or one can think, that it's right awareness while it's not.
Is it just being aware of these things?
Yes. Yes.
Things naturally appear to the senses.
Yes. But what appears now? This is very important. So what appears now that it can be object of right awareness?
When we think it's the fan that is experienced. How is it experienced? By the sound. Because what exactly is heard? Is it the fan that's heard, or is it just the sound that's heard? The sound is heard, and then it's labelled
by the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So we can begin to see that what is actually heard or what is actually seen isn't a fan, because a fan is just an idea or a concept that we have, that what is seen is just that which is seen, which we can call that which is visible, a visible object for convenience. What is heard is just the sound, but immediately after the hearing of the sound, there is the thinking, the story of fan. So when we talk about awareness, awareness is very precise. It can only be aware of a reality. It cannot be aware of a concept or a story or an idea we have. So most of the time we confuse what is real with what are concepts in our life, and we don't know what is real and what is a concept. So that's why it's important to hear or consider more about what are in fact realities, what are experienced through the five sense doors and mind door, and what is just an idea that's thought about through the mind door. For example, we think we touch the table, but what is real when there is touching the table is the experiencing, the touching, and what is experienced, the hardness or softness at the moment of touching, and immediately there's the thinking, the idea of touching a table. But awareness cannot be aware of a table, because it is just an idea. It can only be aware of the experiencing touching, or that which is experienced, the hardness or the heat or the cold. But it's quite difficult if one's never heard anything before about realities, and if one's used to taking all the phenomena in life for self, like we're used to thinking that I touch a table, but when awareness develops, it is aware that there is the experiencing, the touching, and that which is experienced, and both the experiencing and that which is experienced are conditioned realities, not self at all. And the understanding can begin to understand the difference between that which is real and that which is just an idea. Jonathan, when you asked about Yin's loba for other objects, why there isn't any awareness, can you say it's because there's no detachment of realities at that moment? So like when there's following the loba, there's no awareness because there's no detachment at all? Can you say that?
But awareness has to be developed of all realities, including attachment. So attachment is a hindrance to the arising of awareness, then, because attachment is the last thing to be eradicated long after wrong view. That's why I asked about the connection. I can see that attachment to view can be a complete blockage to awareness arising. But attachment to objects, I think we are striving to develop awareness and inspire our attachment.
Right. So it seems to me it's not a matter of stopping the attachment or changing it, but because it has its characteristic, it can be known as well.
Yes.
And at that moment of understanding the characteristic of attachment as conditioned reality, there is detachment at that moment of understanding it or just accepting it as it is.
Is there any attachment now?
Theoretically?
It doesn't appear.
But it's there. The anagami can see the subtle attachment as it is. Can see the danger of subtle attachment as well. While the worldly people do not see the danger of the subtle attachment yet. It's easy to say that there is attachment, but is there awareness of it? When it's subtle. While there's no understanding of seeing as a reality which experiences visible object, yet how can there be the understanding of the subtle attachment as a reality?
Why should the one precede the other?
Pardon?
Why should the understanding of seeing precede the understanding of subtle attachment?
Does it appear?
Well,
where is it?
Nor does seeing. Subtle seeing doesn't appear either.
Subtle seeing? What is subtle seeing?
There's many moments of seeing in between other sense or impressions, for example. Just like there's subtle hearing now, you can say in the sense that if I concentrate, I can hear the sound of a fan. But normally, when I'm speaking or listening to someone speak, I'm not aware of the sound of the fan. There must be many moments of hearing.
Soft sound or subtle hearing?
Subtle hearing.
I don't think that there is subtle hearing. Hearing experiences sound, no matter sound, it's so soft. Hearing experiences it, it is hearing, the reality which experiences sound.
But it doesn't appear.
It experiences sound. If there is no experiencing, sound cannot be heard.
Can we not talk about degrees of hearing at all?
Nama is a reality that doesn't have shape, form, smell, taste, touch. It only experiences. It's subtle in itself.
Is that the hearing consciousness? Mm-hmm. The hearing sense consciousness that experiences sound?
Hearing is a reality. It experiences sound.
Well, does mental consciousness experience sound too?
What is mental consciousness?
I was reading some Abhidhamma when I was in Australia recently, and I read that about the five sense consciousness and mental consciousness which experiences Dharma, and I wasn't quite sure if it experienced. Is a subtle form of experiencing the other consciousnesses of the five senses.
Consciousness always experiences an object. When it experiences visible object, it experiences through eye door. But when it does not experience object through eye door, ear door, nose door, tongue door, and body door, it experiences object through mind door. Like thinking. Thinking does not see. It does not hear. It experiences concept.
So would it mental consciousness experience the concept of hearing or not? Concept of fan.
Thinking.
Thinking fan. Labeling.
Defining fan. It experiences. When it's not through sense doors, then it experiences through mind door. It thinks. That's why there are also many levels of thinking.
There are many levels of thinking.
Are you thinking?
Yes.
Thinking of what?
Thinking that how could there be many levels of
thinking
if there is only one mental consciousness?
Inwards? Or not inwards?
Inwards.
And sometimes there can be thinking of shape, not inwards anymore. Thinking of shape, which is seen. Thinking of different
sounds.
But wouldn't a labeled images be labeled and sounds be labeled?
You mean with words or without words when it's labeled?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes with and sometimes without. For example, when there's seeing, immediately after the seeing, there is the idea of something, but it's not necessarily in words. Like when there is the idea of fan, it's not necessary to label it fan. That there can still be the memory of what we take to be fan.
I was wondering about that long time ago, whether, you know, at a very subtle stage we do label it. You know, we might verbalize about it or know that we've labeled it, but it seems difficult to actually say experience the color red without having already labeled that in some previous time.
Could one say it's the sanya, or the recognizing each moment?
The characteristic of red is experienced before the labeling.
But is it conditioned, the experiencing condition, by
the idea
label?
The idea of red. After seeing. Sometimes it's not necessary to say in mind that it's red. But it's already experienced and labeled in mind. Even not in words. One doesn't have to repeat red, 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 or yellow, yellow each time one sees red and yellow. Right?
Things like colour and without labelling. Because if they've never heard sound, then they've never heard label for it.
But there is a reality which labels it in one's mind, even not in words.
Yes, that's why I was thinking when you said that I could see that that was possible by thinking of a person who has never heard sound, that they would be able to experience the colour. Just what you said.
There's still the recognizing of it and the idea about it, even though not necessarily any.
It's like animals. Yeah. They don't speak any language, but they can eat and they know what is what. What is edible and what is not edible. Who's who?
I enjoy very much the way you keep the discussion in the present. I've never experienced that before.
This is a Abhidharma in daily life. It's the way to study Abhidharma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more interesting to study it with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it is very dry to read about the numbers.
The point of studying this, all these categories of things, is it so that one can identify these states or be aware of them as they arise in one's mind?
It conditions the detachment when there's awareness and right understanding that it's not self. It's only conditioned reality. When one knows more about conditions, which condition such and such reality, it's deeply rooted in one's mind, accumulated, one and all. until it conditions the moment of detachment from taking it for my or self or mine. Just reading that it's not self, it's not mine, it's not enough without the development of awareness. It's only theory. One can say that seeing is not a self, but what is seeing if there is no awareness? One does not really discern the characteristic of a reality which experiences an object. It doesn't have any form, no shape, no smell, no solidity in it, because it's an element which can experience object, that's all. Even that reality is conditioned. If there is no eye sense, there cannot be any seeing.
The mental, what exactly is it?
It's a type of mental factor arising with citta, the wholesome citta.
And this lies dormant most of this is, other mental factors have priority over awareness for most people, is it?
There are many levels of awareness, and there are many levels of each reality, many levels of ignorance, many levels of right understanding, many levels of awareness. Awareness arises with each wholesome citta, wholesome consciousness. There is awareness at the moment of giving away things for the others' benefit. Because in the day, everyone thinks about getting, taking instead of giving. So it is awareness which is aware of giving at that moment of giving. Not self, not I, not anyone at all. Only sopana jetasikas or beautiful jetasikas arise with citta, condition the citta to be wholesome at that level of giving away things. At moment of abstaining from ill deeds and ill speech, it's not self either. There are different sopana, wholesome jetasikas performing that function at that very moment of wholesome citta, which abstains from ill deeds and speech. So at moment of developing right understanding, it's not self either. If awareness does not arise, the other reality cannot be aware, because feeling can feel only, it cannot be aware. Seeing can see or experiences visual object, it cannot be aware. Right understanding itself cannot be aware. Only awareness can be aware of a characteristic which appears, but it cannot understand. Right understanding develops by studying that characteristic little by little until it grows and grows to the degree that it can discern that characteristic as it is. It's what one knows from theory that nama or citta is a reality which experiences an object, which sees, hears. It now experiences object, no self at moment of experiencing, is conditioned, arising and passing away instantly. The development of right understanding with awareness can go along with studying as soon as there is talking or hearing about seeing, awareness can be aware. Anytime. But it depends on its conditions, whether it arises or not. If the direct awareness is not aware of a characteristic which appears yet, it is another level of awareness, of understanding, theoretically. So it's not I who is understanding. There are now different beautiful jetasikas, including awareness and right understanding at that level, which understand what is heard about. And this moment can be object of right understanding, that it's not self which understands what is heard. Just a moment of understanding. And it's different from moment of seeing again. Different from moment of hearing. So there is no self in any moment at all.
That's intellectual understanding.
Yes, at some stage it could be experiential understanding.
Well, I wonder if Japan, if it's thinking, because no matter how much you think about oneself and impermanence and so forth, the characteristic that bears those names can only appear when one is being directly aware of. I wanted to ask about sincere inclination in respect to development of awareness. What it means. Sarah probably got some notes about it.
But something I was going to say, that quite a lot was discussed about the paramis in relation to our daily life, and quite a lot was discussed about satya parami, sincerity or truth. Honesty, being true to oneself, not deceiving. Kunsa Chin said something about wanting to be detached from lobha while following it, and she asked, does one see the danger, or does one just repeat about it from the book? So,
excuse me, detached from lobha while following?
One wants to be detached from lobha because,
yes,
one hears how bad it is, yeah, while one just follows it. And
follows lobha.
Does one really see the danger, or does one just repeat about it from the book? And she gave this as an example of sincerity or satya parami, being true to oneself, not deceiving, not just reading about it or repeating it about it from the book, but really being true and honest to the lobha at this moment. For example, being true to oneself,
yeah,
as one is, rather than as one would like to be.
Here again, the lobha is something that we start with.
Right.
We have to develop.
Talk about being true to the Eightfold Path.
How does that relate to
satya? One says, or one knows, that all dharmas are anatta, not self, uncontrollable. But when one selects object, is one true to the Eightfold Path?
Maybe we have some idea of lobha when there's wanting an ice cream very badly, but yes, but lobha also covers the more subtle degrees of craving, for example. That's why Kunsa Chin asked if there is lobha at this moment, because we might have some idea of the gross kinds of lobha, but what about the lobha right now? Do we have any idea about the subtle craving or the subtle wanting something?
The nature of the mind,
right.
And
satya.
Satya means
truth. So we were discussing about being honest or true to oneself, not deceiving. So in the sense of beginning to understand the realities or the tendencies as they are at this moment. So if there are a lot of tendencies for a lot of lobha or greed, beginning to be true to it and understand it as it is, rather than just following it and hoping for something else. And quite a lot was discussed when we were in India about being attached to kusala, like when we want to be the good, generous person, for example. There can be a lot of attachment to this nice idea we have of ourselves or how we would like to be, instead of understanding and being satisfied with the present moment as it is, which isn't like that at all. So it seemed that that was what sincerity meant, being true by developing understanding. And when we were talking about the parents, it was stressed how it has to be always with right understanding, of course, because when there is right understanding, that's when there is sincerity.
What's the other parami?
Adhidhana. Adhidhana. Resolution.
There was some discussion about how firm resolution should be to study realities which appear at this moment. That's what the resolution should be. So again, it has to be with right understanding, because when there's right understanding, there is the firm resolution to study realities as they are. I don't know what else was said about resolution, except the resolution just to develop satipatthana.
Because the resolution shouldn't be just attaining nibbana. So far, what about this moment? No understanding of seeing, but yet there is the resolution of attaining nibbana. So instead of having such resolution, what about developing right understanding of reality which appears? If there is no understanding of seeing now with awareness, don't think about attaining nibbana. Impossible.
So the resolution should be something that is immediately more...
developing right understanding of reality which appears. This is the only way to detached from clinging to the idea of self. If there is no immediate or direct awareness of a reality which appears now, one is led completely by subtle attachment to other objects. Because one can see when one will understand reality which appears, if there is no development of awareness and right understanding of it now. When? Never. Because one is always led by attachment to other objects.
What is the... is there a mental factor that one can say is equivalent to this?
I don't know. Maybe.
There was something we were asking whether it was the same as right chanda, sama chanda.
We can say that it's kanya, which understands the what is what should be the resolution in one's life or in this life. If the resolution is attaining nibbana, it's not kanya. Because there is no understanding of reality which appears now. It's only dreaming about attaining nibbana, not understanding the right cause of the attainment.
Okay.
can't we say that if one didn't have a resolution to attain nirvana, one would not be interested in developing awareness of the present moment?
Why does one develop right understanding of present object? What for?
One realizes at some stage that one's craving and greed and desire led to nothing but confusion and suffering.
So it's the way to eradicate defilements. And if there is no experiencing of nibbana, defilement cannot be eradicated. But there must be right understanding of reality which appears developed.
Resolution is something like motivation or intention?
Resolution doesn't mean that one has to sit and say it out loudly that this is my resolution. But whenever there is awareness, it indicates one's resolution by action, not by words, by being aware. Not just by thinking. It's more resolute when there's awareness. When there's awareness of seeing, it's resolution of understanding reality which appears. Instead of saying that this is my resolution in my life, if one says that, but there is no awareness, what's the use?
Awareness and certain other mental factors together.
Wholesome moment.
Chanda can be translated as desire or resolution, but it can be either kusala or akusala, wholesome or unwholesome. For example, there can be a lot of desire or resolution in that sense for nibbana, or to develop awareness, because it can be with lobha, it can be with a lot of attachment, it can be unwholesome with this resolution, which sounds to me fairly like kusala, wholesome chanda. Has to be wholesome, has to be just a kind of wholesome mental qualities.
Have you?
And one knows oneself whether there is awareness or unawareness now of this moment. It's one's own right understanding of the reality as it is.
For me, those moments that I think really approach united understanding and spontaneously is something that's true. I don't think I've got the right concept, it's simply out of myself.
Immediately or gradually? Can the idea of self be taken away instantly without the understanding of reality?
I would assume it's true.
If there is no seeing, can there be the idea of I see? So where is the I, or where is the self at moment of seeing? So if there is no understanding or direct understanding of seeing, the true nature of seeing, the characteristic which experiences visual object, can one really have no idea of self at moment of seeing at all? One may think that now I don't consider anything as self anymore, but whenever there is seeing and there is no direct understanding of the true nature of seeing as just a reality, an experience only, so how can that moment of experiencing be anything like self because it's only a moment of experiencing which object, different from moment of experiencing sound. There is no sound inserting in moment of experiencing sound at all. So if there is no awareness of hearing, that is not sound, it's different from sound because it hears. If there is no direct understanding with awareness, one cannot get rid of the idea of I hear at all. So the concept of self is not written, but it's in the mind.
Are you saying that her experience of sort of spontaneous insight is not valid?
There must be cause or conditions for each moment of understanding. When one says about spontaneous insight, is it understanding? Is it only an experience which is not usual, which is not normal, not ordinary?
So can you bring understanding to this experience?
What is the use of experience anything without any understanding? One does not know what it is, what it really is. But I experience it for sure. And what's the use of experiences such thing? And what about the understanding with awareness of the moment of seeing as not self? The seeing is different from visual object. And this can be directly experienced with awareness and right understanding. Mean that it seems like there is no awareness when there is right understanding, or there is awareness without right understanding, or what?
She wants to know what the relationship is between them.
Yes. If it seems like there can be right understanding without awareness. What is the difference between mindfulness and awareness and right understanding?
Well, we have to be mindful.
We have to be mindful.
I'm aware.
Of what?
Our minds.
The object of right understanding must be real as it is. Is mind real? What is the true nature of mind? What is mind? When there is awareness of mind, it is the awareness of what? Experience is what? Because when there is an experiencing, there must be an object of that experience. For example, when we talk about seeing, there must be object of seeing, and visual object is object of seeing. When we talk about hearing and experience, there must be object of that experience, which is sound. So when one talks about experiencing, there must be object of that experience. In order to be clear what is real at that very moment. At moment of seeing, there is no sound.
You saying that reality is only seen to an object?
Pardon? Realities can be experienced so that one can know it's that true nature. So one can say that it's right understanding of realities as they are, not as only concept.
Question, what is the difference between mindfulness, awareness, and understanding? Can you answer that question?
it's not the matter of words, but it's the matter of understanding the characteristic which one tries to use different words to represent it. When we talk about seeing, it's not awareness, right? Seeing experiences visual object, it cannot think, it cannot be aware, it cannot hear, it experiences visual object only. But awareness is not seeing. Awareness is not hearing, but awareness is aware of that characteristic which experiences object. Sometimes one uses the word mindfulness, and sometimes one uses the word awareness. It depends on one's understanding which is better. The moment of being aware of a characteristic which appears. So there must be precise or begin to be precise understanding of whether there is awareness of sound or there is awareness of hearing in order to be right understanding. Otherwise one cannot say that it's right understanding if it takes sound for hearing or hearing for sound. Can one say that when there is the development of right understanding, if there is no awareness of reality which appears? Can one say that there is the development of right understanding if there is no awareness of reality which appears?
I really
think so.
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought awareness is
the start. Yeah. But if there is only awareness, there is no beginning of understanding. Right understanding cannot grow to the level that it can see that reality is only a reality which experiences or a reality which is experienced. Before there can be the direct experiencing of the arising and falling away of each reality which appears one. Seeing arises and falls away, but sure, hearing arises and falls away. But what and when and where is right understanding of them if there is no development of awareness and right understanding, stage by stage, more and more precise right understanding?
Right understanding, so it's thinking about the object, so viewing the world in a certain way which is linked to the other.
At this moment of understanding, is right understanding, but at level of intellectual understanding, not the direct right understanding.
It's level of intellectual understanding.
Mm-hmm. Which will condition the direct awareness of reality which appears, which can be this moment or any moment, by conditions, not at anyone's will. That's why intention is not included in the Eightfold Path at all. Otherwise, anyone can obtain arahatship any day by one's own will.
When we talk about or have an idea about understanding arising spontaneously, it seems to suggest that somehow it happens out of the blue or just like that, and there's no understanding at that moment, that it has to be conditioned, that it doesn't just happen like that or just by wishful thinking, but there have to be the right conditions for understanding to arise and to develop. So that's why we need to hear and consider more and to begin to understand intellectually, so that there will be the conditions for understanding to develop instead of just hoping it will happen spontaneously or something.
And can it be right understanding if the object is not right object?
So first you must have grounded intellectually,
and then it develops.
Yes.
And then it's not a matter of having to do something special, having to take self or something out of the object, but by beginning to understand intellectually first, the understanding can develop, which begins to understand the realities as they are anyway, without having to do something special with the wrong idea that self can do something special. So that's why it's important that first we have to hear and consider more about the right objects of understanding, which understanding can understand, because otherwise if we've never heard anything about it, we just think we can be mindful of the cooking or the walking or the fan or of all sorts of other ideas we have, which are just conventional ideas of reality, not absolute realities that can be directly experienced at this moment, which is what understanding has to understand. The right object is the reality at this moment, which can be known as it is, not just as some idea that we're used to thinking about. That's why Kunzi Chin was talking about seeing invisible object and thinking, because those are the right objects, because those are the realities at this moment which are experiencing and being experienced. So that's what can be known right now. When we have an idea of walking or sitting or the fan as being the object of understanding or mindfulness, it's just an idea we have. It's not actually what is being experienced through one of the sense doors at that moment. There's also quite a lot discussed in the pilgrimage about not forcing, which I suppose comes down to the same as not selecting, really. Kunzi Chin was talking about how when it's the right eightfold path, or when it's developing a Satipatthana, there's no forcing, no idea of forcing or not forcing, because it's just understanding. So it's not having to specially do something or make oneself do something unnatural. I'm sure you've heard just a lot about it, and I'm sure it's not something so different. But it seems that there can be some subtle degrees of forcing which can creep in very easily, I suppose, whenever there are those wrong views. Then there's the idea that we have to read a book or we have to do something.
How can one know that it's right or wrong object? Because it has its own characteristic that can be object of right understanding. Hardness is a characteristic which is real and is object of right understanding, that it's only hardness, no being, no thing in it. Visual object is also real, it is experienced, and it can be object of right understanding or the development of right understanding, that it's not being, no thing in it. It's only a reality that can be experienced through eye sense, not other sense though. It has its own characteristic for Panya to develop by experiencing more and more, until right understanding can experience the arising and falling away of any conditioned reality. That's why even feeling is nama, memory is nama, attachment is nama, aversion is nama, not rupa, not materiality, but they have their own characteristics, different characteristics. For panya to see them as they are, as only different realities, not some. And when there is more understanding, there will be less attachment. But it's very gradual. One cannot expect to have complete detachment at the very beginning.
It's detachment of the kind of detachment from taking the object for something that it's not.
Firstly.
One can still have as much attachment for it in terms of
the right understanding will condition the estrangement from taking those realities for self. Being estranged little by little. Because whenever there is seeing, it's I. Whenever there is thinking, it's I. No estrangement at all. But it's only thinking, conditioned reality, not self. No one can stop it, no one can control it. Because it's a conditioned reality. Before there can be the eradication of the idea of self, there must be long moments of being estranged by conditions, by happy moments.
I think I was going to ask before about the difference between knowing the right conditions for awareness to arise and thinking that there are conditions which are most suitable for awareness to arise and which therefore can be a hindrance to the arising of awareness. But one has to know what are the right conditions for
what
oneself.
Are they?
Well, you can speak generally and you can say listening to Dhamma, considering it.
Certainly.
But even within that range, one has to know that while listening to which teacher or in what kind of circumstances or...
We don't have to consider from which teacher, but any teaching that helps one to understand realities which appear better and deeper or more. It's the teachings about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching realities which appear in daily life. It's right teachings.
What is the right teacher for one person may not be the right teacher for another.
The right teaching is right to the right person, but it's wrong to the wrong person with wrong accumulation.
So all these conditions one has to know.
Mm-hmm.
But still we have not to think that if these conditions aren't being fulfilled at the moment, then there's not likely that awareness will arise. It seems a bit of a...
It is expectation. Only. And the development of the Eightfold Path is not wishful thinking. It's very practical. The moment awareness is aware is the moment of developing right understanding.
It's very difficult to know the difference between moment of expectation of discussion or reading a book or something in a moment of seeing the usefulness of it at this moment. For example, when we were talking about attachment to discussion or expectation of discussion instead of developing understanding at this moment, yet there's also a lot of knowing the value of it. And to know the difference, is that because there's not enough understanding that there's no knowing the difference at that moment between the moment of expectation or hoping for result and the moment of just understanding?
when there are right conditions for the arising of right awareness, it arises. No one can stop its arising. But by thinking of how and what are its conditions, at that moment it cannot be conditions for the arising of right awareness. Why keep on thinking about conditions? Conditions are there in each moment until it conditions the moment of right awareness itself. Why worrying about conditions?
Yeah, it's a bit of a lost cause to think too much about. One still has to know to some extent what are suitable conditions for oneself.
What about the understanding of what is heard, like awareness is aware of a characteristic which appears? That is condition for the arising of sati, of awareness. Is that not enough to be condition of the arising of awareness?
Often not enough, usually not enough.
Maybe it's a grosser form of trying to create the condition. I mean, that's a very subtle condition, that a previous moment of sati conditions in another moment. But in broader terms, you know that if you're in a certain environment, say in the temple grounds, it's easier at that time, if you're a very beginner, to the conditions maybe are better for the arising of sati, or for practicing anapana sati or things like that.
What is the function of the beginner?
To start.
Start by?
Being aware.
That's all. Where everyone is, the starting point is the moment of being aware, not looking for other things. And what about considering the phrase or the sense like nama is a reality which experiences an object? Only that can condition direct awareness instantly of moment of seeing, moment of hearing, that it's not self, it's only a reality which is not materiality, which experiences an object. One knows that by hearing so, it's not enough to get rid of the idea of self, but it can condition right awareness instantly of any moment of experiencing any object. Is that not enough to be conditioned for the arising of awareness? Awareness is aware of a characteristic which appears, just that can condition direct awareness instantly.
I think in the one who has developed awareness, it can condition direct awareness.
Because one realizes one hasn't known enough yet of that reality. One only heard about it. There is no direct awareness of it yet. This would condition direct awareness. Being aware of seeing, studying it, begin to understand it. And this is the starting point of any beginner to be aware, or awareness is aware of any object at any time, instead of thinking about other things like places or I'm a beginner. A beginner has to begin with awareness of any object. Is this the right place for right awareness? Or some other place?
No, this is better than most places, in fact.
Waiting?
I can't think of a better place.
Delaying?
I suppose I have the tendency to think that even when I'm not here, that it's the best place to be. So there's an example of clinging to
hoping
an idea.
If one learns to be aware immediately, it indicates one's understanding of the direct awareness, not being led by attachment. Because at that moment it's not attachment to sensuous object, to pleasure, but it's attachment to the idea of something, not being aware instantly. By knowing so, right awareness will arise. It will be aware of any object of thinking at that moment as only a reality which thinks. No worry about places when there is awareness of thinking of places, because it's only a moment of thinking.
Seems as if there are conditions to consider that phrase now, or conditions to read the book now. It happens anyway, and no need to think or worry more about it. But if there are no conditions to consider the phrase and read the book at this moment, if there is just thinking of the book or results or expectations from another place, that's the reality at that moment. And it seems that maybe the more understanding needs, and the conditions of the anyway for hearing or considering what's useful anyway without having to worry about it. But then
it's called the snowball effect.
Something like that. Rather than when there's the thinking and worrying about it at this moment, it seems to suggest some idea of pushing for results or having some idea about some certain place and forgetting that it's all for what the purpose of it is. Like when we're talking about having some idea of how there must be discussion all the time or something like that, one forgets all about daily life and how the nature of awareness is. It's aware of a reality, not, it's not just discussion or something.
At the moment of thinking about conditions of awareness, where and when there's Satya Parami and Adhidhana Parami, at the moment of direct awareness, there is the understanding of Satya Parami and Adhidhana Parami. No more delay. No delay. Resolution by direct awareness. Satya and Adhidhana are the at moment of right awareness.
So we can say the moment of thinking of place or opening a book or something, it's that, it's the reality of thinking which just should be known at that moment.
Certainly. And it's not such a parami and a dhyana parami at that moment. Only at moment of direct awareness that satya and a dhyana parami. Because without satya and a dhyana parami, no one can attain enlightenment. Because there is no immediate awareness of present object. Attachment is so subtle that one does not realize that one is led already by it when there is no direct awareness of present object.
Can one say this is the subtle wrong view all the time as well when one thinks of that?
So the Dhamma eradicates wrong view as long as the person is not so the Dhamma, there must be the latent tendency of wrong view.
except the conditioned wrong view that remains. What is the latent tendency after one has eradicated wrong view?
The latent tendency is eradicated from wrong view. While wrong view hasn't been eradicated, there is always a latent tendency. So even if there isn't any wrong view at this moment, as soon as conditions arise, there will be wrong view because it hasn't been eradicated.
Quite a lot was said in this regard, I think related to this, about reading all or considering all in the life of Satipatthana, whether it's Vinaya or Sutta. And it seems we've heard this, but then we have an idea of developing other kinds of kusala or finding some balance or reading other aspects or developing other aspects and just forgetting that even when we think we're reading about other aspects of kusala, it should be read in the life of Satipatthana also.
That's a point about which we've had some, I think Venerable Dhammadhara has expressed some opinion on that point.
Yes,
probably talked about it earlier, didn't we? What did he say?
Well, Venerable Buddhasila would probably be able to remind me better, but it seemed to me that he was suggesting that sometimes when we hear and talk a lot about Satipatthana, that we forget about other kinds of kusala, and that we should also remember and develop other levels of kusala and remember other aspects of the Tipitaka. And he gave certain references to this effect. But then when we discussed it with Khunsu Chin, it seemed very clear to me that when we read about what we think are other kinds of kusala, actually it still should be remembered that it's conditioned reality and the understanding of that conditioned reality which is important at that moment, because otherwise there can be a lot of attachment to the dana or the metta or taking it all for self.
So it helps to purify the other kinds of kusala.
Yes, yes. And it also seemed that what was being said was that we don't have to worry so much about developing metta or developing dana, because the more right understanding develops, the more we hear about all realities instead of just about metta or just about dana, the more all kinds of kusala develop anyway with right understanding.
The other meaning of brightness: if awareness arises at the market, is it the rightness?
Did you hear that?
No.
She asked, if right awareness arises at the market, is the market the right place?
Yes or no?
Well, only for that moment, though. Because she then it became...
If enlightenment.
If you had some awareness at the market today, you wouldn't think, well, I was...
Can anyone become enlightened at a market?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it not right place for enlightenment?
Just for that person at that moment.
But who knows that one's enlightenment will be here or there?
You mean I should try the market?
No. Develop right understanding with right awareness anytime and at any place, because one doesn't know one's enlightenment, whether it's here or there.
All objects and people
then developing mindfulness. Depending on the fully developed right understanding. So it just develops it. If there is no awareness at all at the market, it's impossible for one to become enlightened. Not enough right understanding of all objects as only. conditioned realities. That's all. Because there must be the idea that here is not and there is better, something like that. Not understanding all realities as only conditioned realities. The same. Instead of thinking much about places, what about awareness now? It's better to accumulate or develop.
How?
Pardon?
The question is, how?
Having more understanding of right awareness, right object, right understanding.
If you understand a lot about right object.
And then?
Well,
right awareness can arise anytime. Yes. Don't watch it. Will not show up if one is watching for it.
Or wishing for it.
Wishing, watching.
Mm-hmm. It seems we discuss quite a lot about the wishing for results, expectations. It seems that we can creep in different degrees so much, like when we
I sometimes feel that any time that I think about awareness, immediately there's expectation or either expectation or regret, one or the other, arising. Better not to think about it.
Until there's right awareness and one sees it's useless to just thinking about it or wishing to have it.
But still, I mean, these realities seem to be part and parcel of one's accumulations. And although
when right awareness develops, there will one forgets about places and other conditions.
And when there's the wishing or the regret come, maybe you know as well.
Yes. I suppose I'm asking this question, John. If one is thinking about awareness with expectation or with regret or with some kind of restlessness,
the reality that can stop worrying or regretting is awareness and right understanding of it as a conditioned reality. Until then,
by the right understanding of the conditioned reality, is that the mental factor that sees it's constantly changing? Because at that moment, one wouldn't be able to see the conditions which cause that reality and the result of that reality.
That is thinking about conditions, but it's not the understanding of condition when realities appear as they are. Now, realities do not appear as they are yet. Even we have the intellectual understanding of their characteristics and their conditions, but they do not appear as they are, because at moment of seeing, visual object does not appear as just visual object. It appears as different things and people all the time. So it's different from moment when they appear as they are, because there are many realities appearing from one moment to another moment. at that moment when they appear as they are, there can be the understanding of their conditions. Not thinking like now, when they do not appear as they are. So there are many levels of the developed right understanding, higher and higher, until it's fully developed. But it begins like this, having more and more understanding, and awareness begins to develop little by little, maybe none in a day or 2 days or a month, a year, but it will arise by conditions, little by little. Better than trying with the idea of self, using effort to have it in 10 days or 6 months, when it's not the true direct awareness, which is anatta. It's not the self who is developing, but it's the Eightfold Path, Cetasikas, which develop. Awareness develops when it arises more often. Right understanding develops when it studies and begins to understand more and more. But little by little, gradually, grows. So one knows that right understanding is not I. Right awareness is not I. I cannot condition any awareness, because awareness is conditioned reality, not by the wrong view of self. The previous experiences. When it's a dream about kusala, it's kusala citta which dreams.
We're not sure whether or not they could be made kusala. Is that possible?
It depends on dreams. Why do we say that it's a dream when it's thinking? Like now, there is thinking. But why do we say that those moments are a dream? Can it be dream now, at moment of thinking? Or what is the difference between thinking of this moment or thinking and a dream? Pardon? There is thinking of the sound which is heard. Which is not right? But when there is a dream, there is no hearing of sound at this moment. So it does not condition thinking, like thinking in a dream or of a dream. Each moment is conditioned. Thinking is also conditioned. And thinking this moment is conditioned by the sound which is heard.
But I think you can have a dream about everything
in the room. One thinks that one hears in a dream, but in reality it's only thinking of the sound which Sanya remembers. Sanya is a reality which remembers. And thinking is conditioned by the memory of sound. Can anyone think without memory of sound?
Can we once say that in one sense dreams are conditioned by Kalesa, because you've often referred to how the Arahat doesn't dream anymore. So even if it's wholesome dreams, one can still say it's conditioned by one's defilements.
What did you dream yesterday or last night?
Kusala
citta or akusala citta? Does one always dream about kusala?
No.
Even now, or different moments in a day, most of the time.